Hello everybody, welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news as Michael Carrick faces a huge transfer dilemma. It's decision time. Also, West Ham set a very big fee on Fernandes. We'll also be talking about the biggest winner last night, and it wasn't Arsenal, it was Bruno Fernandes winning the Football Writers Award as well. But we will touch on Arsenal a little bit because I think it does sort of play in to Manchester United. Also want to talk about Iriola, whether that was the right or wrong thing to do for Manchester United to avoid that. Very interesting thing I wanted to discuss around this ongoing argument that's going on around Roy Keane and the standards of Man United. And, you know, some people just seem to think we're doing really well and Roy Keane shouldn't be saying anything about the standards of the football club. I'd look at the last 10 years when we've been absolutely shit and say people need to stop romanticising about where Man United actually is. Last time I checked, the Glazers still own the football club and we're over £1 billion in debt. Last time I checked, we hadn't been near a league title in 13 years and Arsenal have just won one. And last time I checked, we haven't played good football for 3 games in a row for 13 years either. So as much as it's great to be third in the league and have the top assist player and the player of the year, United are still bloody miles off from where they need to be. And also, I think what's really sad is that if you'd said to me 5 years ago, Liverpool were going to win a league title and Arsenal were going to win a league title before us, I'd have said, I don't know. Maybe Liverpool did win a league title 5 years ago, but you know what I mean? There was a time not that long ago where I thought Liverpool would never win a league title again. There was certainly a time where I thought Arsenal would never win a league title again. We are now the big club that hasn't won the league title the most. After Arsenal winning it last night, I don't think there's a top six. I don't believe there's a big six in the Premier League. I think there's a big five. There's Chelsea, Man City, Liverpool, Man United and Arsenal. And out of the big five, and there's five places in the Champions League, so I don't believe in a top six anymore. I think there's a big five. Out of the top five, we're the ones who haven't won the league for the longest period of time. When is that going to happen? That is a standard that should be running through every single Man United fan. Instead of falling out with the other people over their opinions about what the standards of the club should be, we should all be aligned on the fact that we're an embarrassment as a football club. We are the longest without a title, and people want to sit there going, everything's okay, don't criticise it, man. Don't criticise it, man, everything's fine. Of course it's not bloody fine. It's embarrassing. I thought last night, by the way, I want to start off with this transfer stuff around Fernandes. But look, Arsenal have just won the league. Instead of moaning about Arsenal winning the league and the PGMOL and the decisions and their style of football, I don't think there was many Arsenal fans last night sat outside the Emirates giving a shit about your hate watchers or what you think about the PGMOL or what you think about their style of play. I just saw something very reminiscent of the 90s. You know, fair play. They took over London last night. I mean, I'm not an Arsenal fan, but that was incredible scenes outside the Emirates. And you know what it made me think? Why haven't we got that at Man United? You know, all I sat there was jealousy going, why are we never anywhere near that at Man United? The biggest club in England, and we're miles away from that. I mean, incredible scenes. Thousands and thousands of people just congregating at the Emirates in London last night until the early hours of the morning. And I thought, you know what? Thank you so much to Jim Ratcliffe and the Glazers for taking us away from that. We don't even get a bloody sniff of it. We are so far away from that. That's the standard. So when you start arguing with Roy Keane about what he says about the team and this, that and the other, you keep bloody arse-licking these players on Instagram because of the assists and the bloody third place. I want that last night, what Arsenal had. That's what I want. That's the only standard I'm interested in. That's the only award I'm interested in. I want what Arsenal have got at the moment. I want that. I don't think that's too much for Man United fans to expect. And I will argue with anybody who thinks, you know, oh, we need to ignore all these ex-players. We need to ignore all these people who demand standards. I think we need to listen to them. I think we're indoctrinated by an ownership that has us in billions of debt and nowhere near where we should be. So I applaud the likes of Roy Keane for actually saying it. He'll get a load of shit for it, but I applaud him because the standards of this football club are in the bloody mud. You know, oh, will Bruno get an assist on Sunday and break the record? Arsenal just won the bloody league. And I am pleased for Bruno, and I'm pleased that Bruno's won Player of the Year and he totally deserves it. But look, these are scraps. These are scraps on the table of Man United. You know, Bruno Fernandes winning the most assists, it's not even an award for us. It's an individual award. Man United winning the league, that's for all of us, you know? That's what I want. That's the standards I want, and I'll argue that with anybody. Are we on the pathway to that? That's the thing, and that's what we need to see this summer. because I think there's a massive opportunity. You know, Man City, where are they going to go without Pep? Liverpool with Slot, Chelsea with Xabi. Arsenal are going to be very good next year, but we need to get there. We need to get there as well. But look, let me talk about some of the news. I think, look, we're going to start off with Michael Carrick. We're going to talk about Fernandes. West Ham have slapped a 70 million price tag on Fernandes of West Ham. Would you pay that? That's the interesting thing. I wouldn't. But I would pay £70 million for him over £70 million for Belaba. So there is context to that. We'll talk about that. But look, I think where I wanted to start is Slow Sports News. A lot of people this morning talking about the Lewis Hall story. We did it at 7 o'clock last night. The Lewis Hall story was from Alex Crook, who this morning has put an appalling tweet out, by the way. I mean, you want to try and take somebody credible, and this is the problem, right? So Alex Crook in TalkSport has basically said that Newcastle's Lewis Hall is open to a move and Man United admire Lewis Hall. Some people have took that and turned it into Lewis Hall wants to move to Man United and Man United are ready to make a bid. Read it back. He literally said Lewis Hall is open to leaving Newcastle and Man United admire him like other clubs. There is no mention of a bid. There is no mention that he wants to come to Man United, but 2 + 2 is bloody 9 as per usual. So look, Lewis Hall might want to leave Newcastle and Man United might want a left back. There's a long way to go on that. But even if you think that is interesting, Ben Jacobs puts out this morning that Ruben Amorim is unlikely to take the Benfica job. And Alex Crook's there quote tweeting it saying Benfica have dodged a bullet. And you think, well, you know, you half want to believe him about Lewis Hall, that there's something about Man United. And then a journalist is putting crap like that out. I mean, Ruben Amorim is no longer the manager of Man United. He got sacked for falling out with Jason Wilcox. We were joint fifth when he got sacked. And Benfica are dodging a bullet by not getting Ruben Amorim, who won 3 league titles in the league that Benfica's in. And you just sometimes go, is it journalism or is it just something else-ism? Knobhead-ism, you know. So look, I think with the Lewis Hall thing, whatever. But I do want to talk about a player that I've been talking about since day one of this season. His name is Truffert. I thought he was Belgian. He's actually French. He didn't get called up for the French World Cup squad, which means negotiations can happen. I watched him for the first time this season at Anfield when they played Bournemouth. And I thought he was bloody brilliant. And every time I've watched him, I think he's been absolutely brilliant. You can go for Lewis Hall for £60-70 million, or you can go for Truffert at about 40 to 50. And I think I know where I'd go. Eccles says Truffert is as slow as a sloth. Mate, do you actually watch football? What you've probably done is, you know, when you record, you know, on this thing here, you've probably put it on slow play. That's probably what you've done, because Truffert is not slow. He is incredible at getting forward and getting backwards. But the big decision that Man United need to make is that we're all talking about a left back because most of us think Luke Shaw's not a left back. And most of us know that Luke Shaw's not the future anyway. I mean, even if you like Beth and you think Luke Shaw's the best left back in the world, he's also 31. So he's not going to be able to keep doing it. There's not a World Cup at the end of every season to keep him fit. Next year, there's no World Cup or Euros. So Luke Shaw's a concern next season with no international tournament at the end of the year and 2 games a week. And he's into his 30s. So we do need a left back. I don't think this fan base is going to buy Dorgu as a left back. I just don't think he's going to get the patience. I think we need to buy a left back. But the dilemma that Michael Carrick has got is that he is sat in a boardroom. And can I just say, Michael Carrick is still not officially Man United's manager. As of this morning, from Man United, I've double checked it and had it confirmed. He is not officially Man United's manager. It is still not done. It will get done, but it is still not done. We are on Wednesday. We are nearly a week after when they wanted to announce it. Why is it not getting done? Well, they won't tell us that. But obviously, it's not getting done because there are still, you know, back and forth on terms, this, that and the other. United are probably offering him a load of shit and he's kicking back quite rightly. So it will get done, but there is still some negotiations going on. But the big decision Carrick's got is that when he sits in that transfer boardroom, where do you want to spend the money? Because it's not unlimited. It's limited. So do you want 3 midfielders? and Morgan Rodgers, or do you want three midfielders and a left back? And that is what's going to happen with United. We do not have £300 to £400 million to spend. We have £200 to £300 million to spend. And that is a dilemma in the sense that you and I would say three midfielders, a left back, a left winger, a backup striker, and a goalkeeper. I would say you are 150, 200, 250. You're probably around £300 million for those six players, right? But if you go for three midfielders and Morgan Rodgers, you don't have a left back, you don't have a backup striker, and you've just spent about 270 million quid. So the dilemma that he's got is that we're hearing that Michael Carrick and the board really like Morgan Rodgers, but it will be at the sacrifice of a left back and a left winger. And I think that is the decision that needs to be made, because everybody is saying United, Wilcox, Carrick really like Morgan Rodgers. He wants to come to Man United. But if you get Morgan Rodgers, it's 80 million minimum. Minimum. And that's on top of your midfield spend. So that's basically your budget gone. There's nothing left for a Lewis Hall or a Truffert or a NG or a Diamande or a Torre or whoever you want. There's no natural left winger. There's no natural left back. There's just three midfielders and Morgan Rodgers. And as I've said before, look, you know, I like Morgan Rodgers, but it reminds me of Mason Mount. We just didn't need Mason Mount. To this day, I do not understand what Ten Hag was thinking of doing with Mason Mount. We didn't need Mason Mount. We needed other positions. So I think that I agree with Zero Blade. Left back for me is definitely more important. I mean, we should run a poll on it. You know, it's very easy, isn't it? But either or, three midfielders and Rodgers, or three midfielders and a left back. Keep it simple. Obviously, there's a little bit more nuance to that, because you might get a left winger, you might get a backup striker. But the priority positions, I've seen a lot of you saying it. I spoke about it with you in the March international break. Absolutely. Even a bloody idiot knows the midfield is the priority this summer. But a close second is fullbacks. Our fullbacks are shocking. And you can live in this fantasy world that our fullbacks are good. I saw a stat yesterday that Man United haven't lost a game when Delo started this season. And that, you know what my response to that was? I haven't died whilst taking a shit this year. There's no correlation, is there, unless you're Elvis Presley? You know, there's no correlation between Delo and our unbeaten record. It literally is like saying, you know, every time I drive the car, I haven't been run over by an elephant. It's an irrelevant stat, isn't it? Yeah. Every time I walk through a door, I've still got my legs on my body. You know, oh, the door, you've saved my legs. You've saved my legs, door. Thank you very much. You know, every time I walk into Sainsbury's, I don't get wet. That's because Sainsbury's has got a roof. You know, it's like, it doesn't. Our fullbacks are a problem. They don't. When you compare, and I've got to do the Delo one. I've done Luke Shaw so many times. But Luke Shaw comparable to not even the best left backs in the world. Luke Shaw comparable to Anthony Robinson at Fulham or Lewis Hall or Truffert. He just doesn't cross the halfway line. He doesn't cross the ball. He doesn't cover the same amount of distance. He doesn't make the same amount of tackles. He doesn't dribble. He isn't progressive. He's just not a fullback, Luke Shaw. He's a left centre back playing at fullback. That's what Luke Shaw is. So yes, we need the midfield, but I'm telling you now, look, if you give me Hakimi and Mendes, we would challenge for the title. We would. We would challenge for the title, even with Casemiro and Mainoo, because they would just revolutionise the way we're playing. And you know what? I will add this in here. There's no point saying this, but I did say this a few weeks ago. If it's Carrick or Iriola, I accept it's close, but I would have gone Iriola. Somebody is missing an absolute gem there. He is the most exciting manager in the market this summer. And Chelsea have gone for someone more experienced. Man United have gone for Carrick. if Liverpool are brave enough and they get rid of Slot and they get him, I think I really do not want this to happen. I want Slot to stay at Liverpool. If they get rid of Slot, I want them to go for Southgate. But if they go and get Iriola, my God. I mean, I've watched a lot of Bournemouth this last few weeks and I've seen them a few times before Christmas. It's like watching United under Sir Alex. I don't know who at United hasn't figured that one out. Like, the wing play is incredible. I'm on the edge of my seat watching Bournemouth. And it's scary what he could do with better players. Now, he might fail. Of course, anybody can fail. But their brand of football is clearly not a consideration for United. Because the brand of football that Bournemouth play, it's the closest I've seen to United in the league. It's wing play. It's getting balls into the box. Overlaps. Quick movement of ball. I mean, they are a joy to watch. The style of football that Bournemouth play is, for me, I mean, I've not looked at it, but they must be in the top five for putting crosses in the box. It is so good to watch. And it surprises me that United didn't look at that from a profile point of view, because fans do want to be entertained. You know, when you watch people watching Bayern Munich or PSG or Bournemouth or, you know, even Man City this season, they've been quite good. People love to watch good football. But, you know, going back to what my original point was, Carrick has got a big decision here. Wilcox has got a big decision here. It feels like they're going to go three midfielders and Morgan Rodgers. I think if they neglect fullbacks, we're going to struggle next year. And also, we also happen to have a 6'5" striker. Has anybody figured out yet that with a 6'5" striker, it might not be a bad idea to put people on the flank who can whip across in? Because that, to me, is one of the biggest, you know, mysteries of this season, but under both Amorim and Carrick, is why we're reluctant to whip crosses into the box to a 6'5" striker. So, look, for me, Morgan Rodgers is a fantastic player. We're going to watch him tonight on That's Football on the Europa League final against Freiburg. But I think it's a luxury we don't need. I think for United's point of view, fullbacks is where we need to spend the money. Slazy said, when we won the league in 2013, we were one Chelsea point and the Aguero from seven in a row. That's how dominating we were. Now people are accepting we should be a club fighting for Europe. Thank you, Slazy. Damn you, Ineos, says Rajaf. We're now the big six club that have the longest wait since our last Premier League. It's baffling that we couldn't get Conte, bunch of morons. Oh, mate, don't say anything about Conte. Oh, I had some Zoom on social media last night, quote tweeting me, calling me out for saying that United should have gone for Conte. Why would you go for Conte when he's football shit? So we are now using style of play for the new manager, are we? Where have you been for the last 4 months? I mean, I don't think our style of play is very good now. If you want style of play, why have we gone with what we've got, you know? Why is it right back? Why does the right back go under the radar, third priority as well? Well, I think you're right, Old Trafford, Malik. I think, obviously, Luke Shaw, in my opinion, is not good enough to be a left back for Man United anymore. But right back does get, even I do it. I don't know why. I am definitely going to cover the right back and compare Dalot to four or five other right backs on the 7 o'clock show tonight, because we do need to scrutinise it as well. I think Ahmad would be better at left wing, says BHMUFC. And Emily Derry says the Rodgers left back dilemma, it should come to the better football decision. A left back, it may come down to who might sell more shirts or what Wilcox wants, which may well be Rodgers. No fault of Rodgers, by the way. Look, I like what people are saying about Rodgers, because for me, Morgan Rodgers is not shit. For me, Morgan Rodgers is a really exciting player. But it's just not what United need. I think his profile is too similar to Cunha. We've already got Bruno. We've already got Mbeumo. We've already got Ahmad. It feels like a square peg in a round hole. Whereas a new left back is a circle in a round hole. And also, it's about, you know, like you say, Emily, it should be a football decision. Our output, you know, you've got Data fucking Dean at United and all these people who used to work in for Formula One going, you know, we've run the numbers and, you know, we're going to take Manchester United back to the top in 2028 because we've got a computer that says Manchester United can win the league. You idiot, you're playing Football Manager on easy mode. Oh, shit.
I thought it was a system that we'd invented. We're playing Football Manager, Dean. Oh, my God. What's going on? Oh, Dean, you're fired.
But, you know, we've got all this data, right?
Oh, data.
But why does it take a prat like me to run it through a system that clubs use and go, our fullbacks do not do their job? How's Data Dean and Co. not figured that out? Our fullbacks don't do their job. They fail the eye test and they fail the stat test. And they're out there going,
we've ran the numbers and Morgan Rogers is a differential for Manchester United next season. If we sign Morgan Rogers, he is such a big difference maker in the final third.
But what about our fullbacks?
Yeah, well, Jason said to remove those parameters. You know, we're operating under the parameters that are given to us by Coxie. So, by proxy. So, you know, he said only focus on the middle area of the pitch that is central and in front of that. And Morgan Rogers is one of the best players in that position. We're not looking at the flanks. And, you know, I think Emily is right. I think that as good as Morgan Rogers is, it's like spending... You know, it's like Donnarumma saying, I want to come and play for Man United and signing Donnarumma. We don't need Donnarumma. We've got Lemons. Now, Donnarumma may be better than Lemons, but we don't need to spend the money on a goalkeeper. We need to spend the money on fullbacks. Absolutely. Our fullbacks are, you know, these are crucial areas. Going into the Champions League next season, you could be playing Elise. You could be playing against people like Doué. You could be playing against really good wingers. And our fullbacks are a problem. The fact that Shaw can't get forward anymore is limiting Cunha. I mean, I think this is a great comment, Braden, as well. And this is what I was going to come on to next. Fullbacks, it's not just about their ability to get forward, cross the ball, carry the ball, pass the ball, tackle, energy, which we don't have. It is the supplementary support that they give to people like Cunha and Ahmad and Mbeumo. Our fullbacks offer fuck all to our wingers, which leads to them being isolated and out of the game a lot. The fact, so it's a great point by Braden. Patrick Lynch says, unless there is a relegation clause, any decent player from a relegated team will be pricey. It's an easy way to get cash in after going down. And I hate Arsenal because of 1.8, says Shuan. And Slazy, thank you very much. Morning, Mark. About your three midfielder tiers, we should not accept the bottom tier. We need two elite midfielders and an experienced midfielder. Glazers out, says Paul. Well, I've got a very interesting thing I want to go through around our league position and points total over the last 10 years, which sort of backs up what Roy Keane's saying, to be honest. But we'll come to that in a moment, because it's come out again this morning that West Ham have set... Well, I don't know whether it's come out again, actually. It's come out that West Ham have set the price for Fernandes at £70 million. Now, I would say straight away, this is very clever by West Ham United. Now, they could still stay up. Spurs lost last night amongst the Arsenal title win. They need Everton to beat Spurs and then they need to win against Leeds. I think Spurs will make it, to be fair, and West Ham will go down, which means Fernandes will leave West Ham. So the price that West Ham have set on Fernandes is £70 million. Now, as with you, I agree, that's very, very steep. It's very, very steep for a player that has had a breakout season in a team that's getting relegated. And look, that's not a fair statement, because Roy Keane got relegated with Nottingham Forest and was one of the best midfielders in the world. So, you know, maybe Fernandes is going to be a good signing. But at £70 million, you're paying top price for a player with very little wiggle room if it goes wrong and very little wiggle room if it goes right. There's not going to be any profit on him, really, is there? So that price is too high. But why do I agree with West Ham? Because he is the jewel in their crown. You know, that player funds their survival in the Championship and their bounce back, really. So you set that price high because you want to get close to £70 million. You probably know you're not going to achieve that. The problem that we will have is that we will have Brighton saying the same thing for Belabor, especially if Brighton get European football on Sunday. I mean, if I was Brighton, I would not start Belabor against Man United because he'll mess it up for you. But the point is, Belabor is going to be £70 million starting price, and Mateus Fernandes is going to be £70 million price starting price. This makes both deals very difficult. Neither are going to be in the World Cup, so you can negotiate. But the problem you're going to have is that
with Fernandes, I think there is competition for him. And that makes me feel like we should get him. Because the fact that Arsenal and PSG are looking at him means that, you know, nobody's looking at Belaba. So you've got two players in the same position at the same price, but Arsenal and PSG are looking at one of them and nobody's looking at the other. Now, you know as well as I do, United will go for the player that no one's looking at, but we really should be going for the players that other people are looking at. We will not get Fernandes for 35 million just because West Ham have been relegated. Patrick is absolutely spot on. You know, we broke the British transfer record for Roy Keane and they got relegated, but Liverpool and Blackburn wanted him as well. So it was always going to be a big fee. The minute there's a competition for a player, you don't get some relegation clause or discount. You only get people cheap from relegated clubs if no one wants their players. If there is competition for their players, that price goes up and up and up. So Fernandes, I think, is going to be around 50 to 60 million pounds, probably closer to 60 million pounds. Now, if he's that price, you do it because Brighton will not do Belaba for 50 to 60. And it all comes down to this. You have those shelves behind me. You have the top tier, which is the Tchouaméni, the Anderson, the Tonali. You have the middle tier, which is Fernandes and Belaba and, you know, maybe Scott of Bournemouth. And then you have this bottom tier that we don't even know is in that. Now, ideally in that, you've got people like Tyler Adams and Ampadu and, you know, Edison and Stiller. You know, maybe that'd be amazing. As long as we get an Anderson or a Tonali, etc., then the Belaba and Fernandes and Scott one isn't as important. And then you get another one there. It all comes down to this. Now, if that ends up being Fernandes or Belaba, that destabilizes this. As long as that's Anderson or Tonali, what you get here and here is still important and you want it to be good, but it's less important as long as that's good. So for me, it's all about what that is. It's all about what that is. And that might be easier than that. So Anderson might be a quicker and Tonali might be a quicker deal than Fernandes and Belaba. There might be more negotiating there. And people will go, well, how is that? Well, because in a sense, Anderson and Tonali are what they are. They're £100 million players. Whereas Belaba and Fernandes, Brighton and West Ham might negotiate that more. You know, you could pop into the Ferrari dealership, buy yourself a Ferrari, pay a fair price. It's a price of a Ferrari, but you know the price. You could then go and get yourself a second car, I don't know, an Audi, and they'll negotiate with you because they know what they want. So I think with the midfield, look, Fernandes has to be the player over Belaba. But if there's competition, we might go for Belaba because it's an easier deal to do. I just don't want United doing deals this summer that are easier. Easier doesn't mean better. You know, sometimes in life, the things you have to work for are the things that are worth working for. And sometimes the shortcut is the lazy route. And I think in football, I would say 9 times out of 10, that's the case. If a deal is easy and no one else is interested in it, there's probably a reason for that. If a deal is hard and competitive, there's probably a reason for that. You know, for example, if you've got Elise up for sale, and then you've got some, you know, right winger who plays for a mid-table Bundesliga team that no one's interested in, and you go for that one over Elise, there's a reason, isn't there? So I think we need to be looking to get in these fights. I do like Scott at Bournemouth. Every time I see him, again, I would put Scott, Truffert and Iriola in the same category. I think whoever gets those three players, and look, maybe Scott and Truffert will stay at Bournemouth because they could be in the Champions League. Those three players have got immense futures, in my opinion. I'd be stunned in 3 years' time if all three of them aren't playing at the highest level and managing. Every time I watch Scott, and considering I've seen Scott play against us, Arsenal and Man City in the last month, he has not looked out of place. Probably should be going to the World Cup with England, if I'm being honest. I don't know why Tuchel's ignoring him, but I think he's a fantastic player. Fantastic player. I like his physique. I like his speed. I like his passing. I think he, again, it's one of those players that probably won't end up at Man United. But if he goes to like Chelsea or Liverpool or wherever, I'll say they've got a good player there. I think he's a really good player, Scott. Damn you, Ineos. I've done that one. Anderson, Bale with justice. Bale Wall Justice says, Anderson for 100 million, Scott for 55 million, Truffert for 40 million, and Senesi for free, Dubravka for free, and Welbeck for free. I don't actually like that transfer window for some reason. I don't know why. I don't mind Anderson, Scott, and Truffert, but I'm not mad on the other lot. This feels like our last chance to get it right, says Daniel Cunningham. Pep leaving, Liverpool dropping off, Chelsea is a mess. We must recruit properly this summer. Thank you very much, Daniel. Emily Derry says, has Data Dean looked at how many attacks fail because the fullbacks either don't get forward or cross a ball? How many chances and goals we concede because the fullbacks are not up to scratch in defence? How many times, Emily, do we see Dalot or Shaw or Mazraoui get the ball on the far-hand side in our attack and pass it backwards as well? Sir Alex says, would you sign Denzel Dumfries for £20 million? I haven't got a problem with buying a Ryerson or a Dumfries or a Grimaldo. United do, because they're all over 28. I just want centre midfielders, no other position, says Keel. And Tay Dunn says, thank you very much for the super chat. Yeah, I mean, I do think with the midfield, you know, it will come down to, you know, obviously it's going to come down to what three players that we do sign. But I think that, you know, we do have a very, very exciting but very interesting summer transfer window ahead. And, you know, I almost agree with you, Keel. You don't want to run before you can walk. We absolutely do need fullbacks, and we probably won't get fullbacks. I can see fullbacks being next summer because Luke Shaw's at... What I can see United doing with fullbacks is saying, we've got Shaw and we've got Dalot and we like them and they're reliable, modern professionals, and we'll stick with them and solve that next summer. So what I think United will do, in short, is they will solve a problem in a year's time. But the problem with United is we've done this with wingers, we've done this with strikers. We've done it for years. There is a glaringly, obviously problem in a United side, and whilst an Arsenal and a Man City will go and solve all the problems in the summer so they're ready to go, we always leave a problem and go, we'll sort that next year. And the problem is, in football, is 12 months is too long to leave a problem, because by the time you solve that problem, there's another problem. So last summer, we should have solved the midfield problem. So all season, we've been going, we need midfielders. So now we're going to solve the midfield problem. But already, before we've solved the midfield problem, we're saying we've got a fullback problem. So even if we get the midfielders this summer, we'll go into next season with a fullback problem. And by the time next summer comes round to solve the fullback problem, we might have a centre-back problem, or we might have a winger problem. So we never solve the problems. We're always chasing our arse, really. Mojo has been a member for 79 months. I hope you're doing well, Mojo. Thank you so much. Savage says we need six players. What do you think about Kroupi? I mean, we can't buy everybody from Bournemouth. And I thought it was a fantastic goal last night. And I do think he is a good player. But I almost feel with Kroupi that he's probably another player that we don't need at the moment, because he doesn't really play off the wing. He can play off the wing, but he's more central. So I think you're spending a lot of money. I've got to be consistent. I do like Kroupi, but I also like Morgan Rogers. But I don't think we need them. Unless Bruno Fernandes is leaving, which would absolutely stun me, you're spending money on something that's a bit of a luxury. And you don't spend money on luxuries when you've got problems at home. You know, if your roof is leaking, you don't go and buy yourself, you know, a luxury king-size bed. It's going to get wet. Yeah, it's going to get ruined. You fix the roof first, and then when it's not leaking, then you buy the bed. And I feel like Morgan Rogers and Kroupi are brilliant players, but they're not players we need at the moment. And you've got to build the structure. It's all about the structure. You've got to build the structure first, you have. I'm guessing our budget will be circa 250, says Nick. I agree. I'm quite happy spending 40 or 50% of that on Anderson. I think he's that good. Do you agree? I think Anderson still is a bit of a divider in the fan base. You know, I was doing That's Football last night, and it was a bit of a back and forth about Anderson, and somebody called him a learner driver. And they did a super chat on That's Football, and they were saying he's a learner driver, I don't want him. And I said, I may well have used the word learner driver with Anderson. I'm sure I have done. But in fairness, he's not a learner driver, is he? He's, you know, he's not as experienced as a Tonali or a Chiumini, but he's not a learner driver as much as a Belaber or a Fernandez. Belaber and Fernandez play for Brighton and West Ham. Anderson plays for England and has played in the Europa League. And is a talisman of that team. I think Anderson's journey is, you know, Tonali and Chiumini are established international players who've played Champions League football. Belaber and Fernandez are prospects. I'd put Anderson in between the two, who is getting very closer. He's certainly closer to Tonali and Chiumini than he is to Fernandez and Belaber in relation to learner driver experience. So, you know, I think with Anderson, you get the potential and the youth is, you know, the youth, but the CV as well. So, and I think I agree with Dave that he will only improve. So I don't feel like Elliot Anderson is a learner driver. For example, look, the best way of explaining it is, if we start next season with Tonali next to Maynou, we probably all go, we have got a really experienced replacement for Casemiro there. If we start next season with Belaber next to Maynou, we probably go, fucking hell, this could go wrong because, you know, where's the experience? Whereas if we start with Maynou and Anderson, I think there's a little bit of how experienced there are, but I think there's also a lot of, this is really exciting. So Anderson, for me, is in the Tonali and Chiumini category for that. Is not down in the Fernandez and Belaber inexperience category. Martin says, JJ Gabriel plays on the left, would rather leave space for a promising youngster to break than bulk out the left side with Rodgers, says Martin. Junkyard James says, what do you think of Scumhampton Spygate? The longer it goes on, the more I think it's a harsh on their fans. You know, I think somebody being at a training ground filming somebody's training is wrong, but I'm absolutely convinced it's been done by other teams. And to throw them players and them fans out of a final, I understand the punishment, but I think it's ridiculously harsh. I always take it back to us. If we were in a bloody Champions League final and we got kicked out because Wilcox had sent some bloody lad to go and film Real Madrid, I'd be fucking fuming. But look, the rules are the rules, aren't they? It's harsh on the players and on the fans. But I do agree with everybody else saying, look, you know, if you cheat, isn't it? What do you think? Done that one. Do you ever worry we buy too many players this window? We have a Liverpool scenario of this season, says Connor. What? If we buy too many players, they might flop. Mate, I've got to be honest with you. I never worry that Man United are going to sign too many players. I mean, that would be a worry I would like to have. I would love to go to bed at night going, shit, what if we bought too many players and they don't all gel? I mean, that is not a concern I've ever had with Man United, and I don't think we need to worry about that. I mean, that would be a nice problem to have. Imagine waking up going, shit, we bought too many players. I mean, yeah, I don't worry about that. There ain't no way we're going to buy too many players, Connor. No way. I mean, what would too many players be? I mean, if you said to me, we've bought a right back, a left back, a backup goalkeeper, a centre back, three midfielders, a left winger, a number 10 and a backup striker, I wouldn't say that was too many. So, I mean, that's probably what we do need to do, really. And I don't think that's greedy. I just think most of us are being real. We probably do need a backup goalkeeper, a right back, a left back, a centre back, three midfielders, a left winger, a number 10 and a striker. And that's not greedy. But nobody will say that because we're being realistic, I suppose. But I do agree with Nick V. I do think our budget will be £250 million. I do. Yeah. Moving on. Bruno Fernandes has won the Football Writers Award for Player of the Year. Arsenal fans will hopefully leave him alone now because they've won the league. And I was actually speaking to Robbie this morning, obviously very, very excited. And look, congratulations. I've said it to Liverpool. I've said it to Man City in the past. I don't think I said it to City, to be fair. Please do share the video, by the way. We've got nearly 10,000 people watching. Smash a like and make sure you subscribe. But Bruno Fernandes is going to clean sweep the Player of the Year awards, and quite rightly so. For me, it's not about winning the league.
It's about the player that has the biggest individual impact on their team across the season. And Bruno Fernandes in the assist charts is miles ahead of everybody else. And, you know, you take Bruno Fernandes out of that Man United side, not only are we not in the top five, I think we're probably mid-table. You take Declan Rice out of that Arsenal team, they probably don't win the league, but I still think they're second. So I think Bruno's impact on United is momentous. And, you know, winning player of the year is absolutely spot on. So obviously he was at the awards show last night. I think they sort of spoke to him about what Roy Keane said. And he said, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not about individual awards. I've proven I'm a team player. And then Michael Carrick was talking about how even on days off, he's always in working hard. I've always stuck up for Bruno Fernandes on that. You know, it was Gary Neville who said against Liverpool when we were losing that time that he wanted to sub himself off. Definitely didn't. That's not who Bruno is. Definitely plays with injuries. Definitely puts his body on the line. Definitely wants to play every minute. I think the criticism of Bruno at times has been that he plays too much. I think sometimes he shouldn't be on the pitch. I think sometimes he shouldn't be taking minutes off other people who probably need minutes. But it's Bruno. That's who he is. So his dedication to the cause and his consistency and his desire to play football, if he's selfish, he's selfish because he wants to play football all the time in a Man United shirt and he loves football. So I don't think that anybody can criticise Bruno on that. Where I actually agree with Roy Keane is that the standards that Manchester United are meant to uphold have been forgotten. You couldn't move yesterday for content creators seeing an opportunity or, you know, social media accounts or journalists seeing an opportunity to, you know, sort of slag Roy Keane off for what he said. And as I said yesterday, I think they've completely missed the point. Like, there was a particular journalist, I can't remember who it was, he wrote an article about it. And I thought, you went to bloody university to get your blue tick. You know, you've been making coffee for everybody to get your job. You know, you've worked your way up. Surely you know the history of football. Surely you know that Roy Keane used to stand there at 26 doing press conferences and post-match interviews, slagging his team off and the club for not being ambitious. This is not a bitter old man having a pop at Man United. He's been doing this since he was 19. It's Roy Keane. He has very high standards. And if those standards aren't met, he will shout about them. You know, he got kicked out of the club for doing it about youth players. So Roy Keane has high standards. It's no coincidence to me that the only player I've never heard Roy Keane slag off in the last 10 years at United is Ronaldo. And I wonder why. Because he knows what Ronaldo does. He knows Ronaldo is absolutely fixated on winning everything and working ridiculously hard. So, you know, I think that says a lot. Roy Keane, there might be other players, but he won't slag off Ronaldo because he knows Ronaldo's standards. He has ridiculously high standards, right? So I am not going to take a pop at Roy Keane for saying things that he said because I think it comes from a place of consistency that he's always had. And these so-called United fans who are, oh, I'm not listening to Roy Keane anymore. Well, maybe you should do your own research on the club you're meant to support because he used to do this in a United shirt when he was playing. But There is a debate because Bruno's been brilliant this season. We have finished third in the league and there's a lot of positivity and there's a lot of optimism around that. There is also a reality of a football club that is now factually the only club in the top five that hasn't won a league in over a decade. Arsenal were the longest without a league. They've just done it. Liverpool haven't done it and they've done it. Man City, Chelsea, and then there's United. We are the embarrassment in the big clubs in the Premier League now. That is a pressure. And I think that's a pressure that we as fans need to put on our club. I don't agree with sitting there going, ooh, assist record. Ooh, third place. Ooh, we're back in the Champions League. You know, these are all good things, but they ain't things that make me think I'm proud of what we're doing at this football club. I'm not proud of what we're doing at this football club. You know? I think the club's in a fucking mess. And I think they are trying to spin a positive of, oh, everything's okay. It's not okay. In the last 2 years, we've spent over £500 million on players for managers that they sacked and spent £30 million on sacking. The club is only in over £1 billion in debt. Old Trafford is a shadow of its former self and we're meant to be building a new stadium.
We are now the club out of the top five that hasn't won the league title the longest. These are all embarrassing things that need to be resolved, and they can't be resolved by romanticising about a former player coming back to the club, playing bland football and getting us back into the Champions League. There are standards that we need to uphold. And you can choose to ignore those, and that's your choice, or you can choose to demand Man United do better. This summer is a line in the sand. If we mess this summer up, how many more years is it going to be without a title? Could we become Arsenal and go 22 years without a title? We are 13 years without a title now. How many more years is it going to be? This summer is a huge opportunity. And are they spinning PR, or is there a reality? And that this next 3 months, for me, I think United fans do need to be vocal about the standards of this football club. I think we do need to say, where are we heading? Because propaganda around something we've already done with Ollie. Look, I look at United's last 10 years, right? I wrote this down because I wanted to bring this in. You know, people are like, we're third in the league. We're third in the league with 68 points, aren't we? We're third in the league with 68 points. Did you know that in the 16-17 season with Jose Mourinho, we were sixth with 69 points? So context is key. When you look at the last 10 years, we've had some shit seasons. I mean, last year, 42 points. Ugh. Ah. 15th in the league and 42 points. I mean, that is incredible. Ninky says, none of our issues can be solved overnight. Whinge, whinge, whinge. Ninky, you're a prat. They don't get solved by pretending everything's good either. We are run by people who love to sweep problems under the carpet. If you don't lift that carpet up and expose them, they'll keep sweeping them under the carpet, you prat. You are basically a facilitator of this ownership. Do you genuinely think if we leave it to them, they'll solve the problems? You know, the protests that got the Liverpool game cancelled caused Joel Glazer to get on a fan forum call for the first time in fucking history. If you say nothing, they will do more to damage this football club. So I'm sorry, Ninky. You saying be patient and let's see what they do, that takes trust. Let's see what they do in the next 3 months and how much trust they build. I ain't sitting back, and I don't think most of this fan base are going to sit back and go, let's see what happens. We've been waiting 13 years to see what happens, mate, and it gets worse. Listen to this, right? In the 14-15 season with Louis van Gaal, we finished fourth with 70 points. In the 15-16 season, we finished fifth with 66 points. In the 16-17 season, we finished sixth with 69 points. We are third with 68 at the moment. So it just shows you. In the 17-18 season, we finished second with 81 points under Jose Mourinho. 81 points. In the 18-19 season, we finished sixth with 66 points. In the 19-20 season, we finished third with 66 points. In the 2021 season under Ollie, we finished second with 74 points. In the 21-22 season, we finished sixth with 58 points. And listen to this. In the 22-23 season under Erik ten Hag, we finished third with 75 points. That was two seasons ago, and it wasn't good enough. 75 points with ten Hag, third. With 68 points with Carrick in third. 23-24, we were eighth with 60 points. And then 24-25, well, we all know, 42 points. But look, the last decade isn't good. It's not good. It's really bad. We have, how many points are we off the table, top of the table at the moment? We are on 68. We're 14 points off the title at the moment. Over the last 10 years, we have been 17, 15, 24, 19, 33, 33, 12, 35, 14, 31, 42 points off title. The last 10 years have been shit. And Carrick's done a good job and the players have done a good job, but third place on 68 points, and we could still get to 71, isn't biblical. You know, Mourinho beat that. Ten Hag beat that.
Ollie beat that. Mourinho did a 75. Ollie did a 74. Mourinho did a 69 and an 81. Six, yeah. So this romanticising about United are in a good place. I don't think we're in a good place. I don't think we're in a good place at all. I think we're massively reliant on people like Harry Maguire, Bruno Fernandes, Casemiro, Luke Shaw, Dalot. That's our experience. And we know what happens with that experience. We've gone back to an interim coach who used to play for the club, which we've done before. The football, yet again, is not good. And look, I am not blaming Carrick for that. The football wasn't good under Ten Hag. The football good wasn't good under Amrin. The football good wasn't good under Ollie. The football good wasn't that good under Jose. And the football wasn't very good under Van Gaal or Moyes. You know, the football's not been good enough at this football club for a very, very long time. What resonates with me this morning is not third place in Champions League qualification. What resonates with me this morning is that Arsenal have won the fucking league. And credit to them. Well done to their board. They built something over a few years that has took them to the top of the European stage and a chance to win the Champions League for the first time in their history. But they've won the Premier League for the first time in 22 years. I'm embarrassed that Man United are now the longest without a title out of Arsenal, Chelsea, Man City and Liverpool. And everybody in that football club should be waking up this morning embarrassed as well. It is embarrassing how long we've been without a title. And I don't give a shit about Leicester winning a title closer than us. It's, you know, that was a once in a lifetime. But we hold ourselves as Manchester United to be the biggest club in England. You cannot be without a title longer than Chelsea, Man City, Liverpool and Arsenal. That should be sharpening our minds. We still haven't announced Michael Carrick as the official coach. We need to work fast. Billy Wiz FC. Ondoli, Ondoli. What was his name, that little mouse? Right? We need to be moving fast. We still haven't announced Michael Carrick official. We've got to move. This summer is exciting. Next season could be real progression. Have we got the right people at the club to make that happen? This next 3 months is massive. So don't come criticising people for demanding standards of this football club, because factually, the standards of this football club are on its arse. It's been a shit 10 years. The football's crap. The consistency is crap. The debt is crippling. And we are now factually the longest without a title out of all the big clubs in this league. And it seems to me they're walking around with smiles on their fucking face. The scary thing is, they might quite think fourth and fifth and third is what's good enough for United. If we finish third for the next 10 years, how many of you would be happy with that? Because I actually genuinely point the finger and think some of you would be. If we finish third and qualify for the Champions League for the next decade, we won't have won a league title for 23 years. And I think some of you would be happy with that. I think you'd go, well, we're in the Champions League every year. You can't complain. We're in the Champions League every year. 23 years out without a title if we finish third for the next 10 years. Some people can't get their head around that. Oh, don't, you moaner. You're just negative all the time. Third place isn't great for Man United. Man United need to win a fucking league title and we need to win one soon. Don't be coming at me and telling me third place is good enough. It's fine now. Look at last year, we finished 15th. But third place is not something to go, we're back. That third place is the opportunity to go back to what we've been talking about. You take Tonali or Anderson from there. You take Fernandez or Scott from there. And you bring Tyler Adams or someone like in there. Or Edison. You go and get a left back. You get a backup striker. This summer is not a summer to celebrate third place. This summer is a time to say, what are you going to do as the failures running this football club to make us win a league title? Because it's bloody embarrassing that we haven't won one the longest now. There is an opportunity to do that. This manager needs backing. Whoever the manager was, they're going to need backing. The manager's Michael Carrick. We deal with that. We now need to back this guy that they've told us is the right guy. We can all have our doubts. We can be excited. But they've got to back him. When are they going to start doing that? For me, the transfer window's already open. When are you going to start? Why have you not started yet? You know? Arsenal, 11 points from top six. United, 17. Need to beat crap, says Robert McCormack. Yes, Robert. I mean, look. I mean, Amrim's gone. But if you think about where we've dropped the points under Carrick, drawing to West Ham, losing to Leeds, losing to Newcastle. Where else is he? Drew to Bournemouth. Drew to Sunderland, you know, and then you go to Amrim, drawing with Spurs, drawing with Forest, losing to Everton, drawing with Wolves. There's a lot of points that we've dropped this season against teams outside the top six. But that's, you know, Robert makes a great point. That's light switch football, isn't it? You know, we are, I'll say this to you now, right? And I'll get laughed at. I ain't worried. I think if we play Bayern Munich at Old Trafford, we'll beat them. I think if we play Real Madrid at Old Trafford, we'll beat them. And everyone's going to laugh and say, clip it. But you know it's true. I remember Ollie or Jose, their job was in jeopardy, and we had Spurs, I think we had Man City and Arsenal in quick succession, and everyone was like, they're going to get the sack, and I think we won both. And the previous week, we probably lost to bloody West Brom. Our problem over the last 10 years is not losing the games we think we're going to lose. We very rarely, and I know people will say 7-0, but we very rarely get done by the Arsenals and the Man Cities. We get done by the Leeds and the Evertons. And that's been going on for years. And you know why that is? Because when you're an inconsistent player and the weekend's coming up and it's Arsenal, you're up for it. Oh, we're playing Arsenal. When the weekend's coming up and it's Everton, well, it's Everton. And that's our problem. So I'm excited about playing the PSGs and the Bayern Munichs and the Arsenals and the Man Cities. I wish we could play them every week. Might be a better team. But you know the story. We're 2-0 down at the Etihad and Man City are going to get the title given to them by beating us. We come back at half-time at the Etihad and win 3-2. Mourinho's the manager. Pogba scored 2 goals. And you go, how the hell have we done that? Man City are up for this. It's a Manchester derby and they get crowned champions against their biggest rival. And they're 2-0 up at half-time at their own ground. And we come back from 2-0 down to 3-2. And then the very next week, we're at Old Trafford against West Brom, who are getting relegated, and we lose 1-0. And that's Man United. You know? If they blow this window up thinking they can go with the bare minimum into next season, hopefully with the ambition to go into all competition. Look, agree with who you want to agree with. Always come up with your own opinions. But to these glass half full people, you know, to the Rio Ferdinands of this world, are you doing it for likes or do you genuinely care about this football club? Because third place isn't success, mate. Second place isn't success. There is a clock running now, and it's called the embarrassment clock. Arsenal, out of the top five, were the team that hadn't won the league the longest. They were the laughing stock. The minute Arsenal won the league last night, the clock started on us. Chelsea, Liverpool, Arsenal, Man City have all won the league more recently than us. We are the banter club. We are the big club that hasn't won the league. Correct me if I'm wrong, but if you finish second for the next 10 years, you don't win the league. The obsession of this football club now, and it should have been anyway, is to win the Premier League. It's not a nice to have. It's not a in 5 years' time. The obsession is to win the league. And unfortunately, I think if we had certain types of owners, that obsession would be an obsession. I think with these owners, the obsession is what the bank balance is. It's not to win the league. Now, prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Because I'm telling you now, I ain't glazing third place next season. We need to win the league. I see those scenes in London. Thousands of Arsenal fans. Fair play. What, amazing. Brilliant. In 2026... to see that when we're told that the world's all about technology and swiping your phones, to see thousands of people on the streets celebrating together was incredible. I want to see that at Old Trafford. And I want to see it soon.
And that has to be the obsession. Who in that football club is running that obsession? Who is employed to make that happen? Operation win the fucking Premier League. I mean, it's not too much to ask, is it? I don't think we've had anybody in the club for 13 years who's actually driven to do that. Hopefully Michael Carrick can do it. Hopefully he'll be listened to. But our obsession has to be to win the fucking league. I don't know every season what our actual job is, because no one actually ever says it. What is our obsession? Arsenal's obsession has clearly been to win the league for the last 4 years. Second, 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 first. What is our obsession at Man United? I know what I want. I know what you want. But do you actually believe we're trying to do it? Go back to what I said a few minutes ago. If our obsession is to win the league, why do we leave holes in the team? If we want to win the league next season, why will we go into it with no left back and no right back? If we wanted to win the league this season, why did we go into it with no midfield? If we wanted to win the league the season before, why didn't we go into it with the attackers? We are not trying to win the league. When are people going to understand we are not trying to win the league at this football club? We are not trying to win the league because we don't put a team together that's ready to win the league. Every season we go into it and go, that'll be for next year. Yeah, we understand we haven't got a midfield, but we'll do that next year. They are lying to you. Their obsession has to be to win the league. Let's see if they can deliver a summer. Because even if we have a team that can win the league, they're probably going to have to finish second for a couple. Arsenal have had a team to win the league for probably 3 years, but they didn't do it. You've got to run the race before you can win it. When are we going to try and run the race? I am not going to be quiet about this. We have not gone into a season since Sir Alex Ferguson left where we go, we probably won't win the league, but that team is balanced. They'll go into another season with an imbalanced team. There'll be a couple of holes somewhere, whether it's left wing, centre-back, full-back, even... Do you trust them to solve the midfield? Will they buy three players? Who will the quality of those players be? So look, for me, congratulations to Arsenal, but our obsession's got to be winning the league. And maybe I've let that slip. Maybe I haven't thought about it. But that sharpens the minds. We are now the biggest club with the longest time without a title. And we have to do something about it. Liverpool aren't what they were. Pep is leaving. This creates a very open title race next season. If we can get our transfer rights, we could do it. And that you're absolutely right, Umar. That's the point. There is an opportunity this summer. But if they don't buy fullbacks and they only buy midfielders, we won't take that opportunity, will we? Just going back to what I said, three midfielders and a left back, or three midfielders and Morgan Rogers. 84% of you say three midfielders and a left back. Thank you so much. Went on a little bit longer than I wanted to. Pengers says fans having patience is crazy. Arteta has taken 6 years to get Arsenal the title. Think about that. If things turned now, it could be half a decade before success. If nothing changes, it could be decades more. I think this is a great point. Talk about patience, right? Ninky said patience, right? Pengers is spot on. The patience starts when they build a team. We won't win the league if we don't build a team. And when we build a team, that's when you're patient, because they've got to learn. We haven't built the fucking team yet because they won't do it. Keane should criticise the Glazers like the player. I agree, Old Trafford Malik. We're going to get 100 million from Champions League, 100 million from selling 3 to 4 players. So why is our budget only 250 million? There should be protests, as Bear with Justice. And Morning Mark, from our maybe 250 million budget, are the transfer debts included? How does this impact our incomings? I mean, you need to talk to the Glazers about these last few things. If we get Kroupi, Anderson, Truffert, Fernandez, Denzel Dumfries, we can win the league, says Taden. Thank you very much. Look, there is an opportunity this summer. You give me Tonali, Scott and Stiller, and Truffert and a backup striker, I would expect us to fight for second. You don't give me any fullbacks and you give me three average midfielders, we could be down in 10th. It's not about Carrick now. It's not about the players. It's about the board. There is an opportunity. They've took a massive risk on Michael Carrick. You cannot give an experienced coach a shit summer transfer window.
in a way, if they'd given the job to Conte, he might have got more out of these players without spending much. But Michael Carrick's going to need a big spend. Are they going to deliver it? We're back at 2 o'clock. I'm back at 7 tonight because I'm doing the Europa League on Villa. I've thoroughly enjoyed the show this morning, by the way. Absolute real conversation. Love it. None of this bloody... There's so many people out there glazing and covering up for whatever reason. I don't really understand it. You know, kissing the arse of the club, pretending everything's going to be okay. I don't know why they're doing it. Arsenal just won the fucking league. Fair play to them, but we are now the embarrassment club who hasn't won it the longest time. Time to go to work. Time to demand more. I see people going on, oh, this, oh, that. Time to bloody demand some standards. You know, I've got no issue with, like, the team and Carrick now. They go on holiday. But if Coxie and co think they're part of the bandwagon, get to bloody work. You're under scrutiny, mate. You're under scrutiny every day of this summer transfer window. You're on watch, mate. You are on watch. Every fucking day, you are on watch. Do your job. You're the director of football for Man United. Go and do your fucking job. Don't go hiding behind giving an interim the job. That wasn't even a proper recruitment process. Get out there and back this manager. Get out there and set an objective of winning this league and get obsessive about it. Thanks for watching. Stay safe.